Thanks so much. I'm really happy to be here. And thanks to Stephen. I really like his work. I'm going to read a few from my pamphlet to start off with, and I'm going to move on. So this is when I wrote the week that Seamus Heaney died. I was living in Canada, and I was a little miserable anyway. It's called Wake. Nobody is from where I'm from. The density of the cold, the snow murmurs secrets under my feet, directions to nowhere. Chicken coop brains flap their wings, bits of fluff and feathers float. You can swallow them, lick around them, but it won't feed you. I will send letters out, see what comes back, see which ones I can add to my brain. I want a longer line that stretches past the depth of a field to the other shore. There are warnings for bears, snakes, cockroaches, bedbugs. But where is the water? It lies there, dead in snow. The rats in the canal know more about it than we do. The taps turn on Bathurst. Clouds emerge, fill my glass with fluoride and snow. Blink and smile at the story of the academy. Meanwhile, my mind is flown by the men in sensible brown shoes gathered at the soft mud of Moss Bomb. I spent some time living in San Francisco and working in city lights for free with a bunch of people that didn't really seem to care that much about their jobs. But I was like really overexcited to be there. So this is called Mission. The shiver at the back stairs of city lights in a wooden room where career people shrug at Ferlinghetti's empty chair after his fall at the post office. Tell me I might see him when he gets better. Every 5 minutes I dance around the room, singing at the associate publisher, Lawrence Ferlinghetti has touched this. The stack of photos from the 60s of white smocks and wiry beards that I painfully research for copyright, draft formal emails to photographers and family members of people I can't imagine cared much for asking permission. Back on the curb, I wait to return the vacuum cleaner. The confusion it causes when I call it a Hoover, as though I am looking for a very specific way to suck up the dirt from my carpet. The steam from the concrete obscures the faces of the Hispanic men on my block who spend their days checking out the swish of my skirt, the whitewash of my legs, bruised from nights of running the bases at the Potrero Diamond, chugging blue Gatorade between home runs, until my right knee buckles and condemns me to a season of squinting and hand signals under a swinging bat. At the corner of Broadway and Columbus, at the corner of Potrero and 25th, at the corner of Dolores and Valencia, at the corner of Mission and Cesar Chavez. Okay, this is the last one I'm going to read from I Am Where, but it's possible to buy this from me if you'd like it. This one, I tell my dad this is about chicken wings. It's called Joint. I get away with it. We suck the sliver of air from the skylight, the tiny bar of life that slips through. Shake in our sleep, fingers wrapped, legs folded, hands sticky with chicken grease and weed. Even the law can't hold us now. Not the bright 1 a.m. sky, not the dynamo on the phantom bike that disappears into bushes, not the swans on the lake, not the road, not the walk home or the clock. The guy in Luigi's gives us a deal. We crouch in the alleyway, holding the joints in our bird-like grip. In the emerald night, a swan shudders and snaps. His yellow beak blinks in the distance. This is a bunch of work from my very new project, which is a hybrid book-length poem with three different parts. So there's one part that's about my grandmother's experience. She moved a lot north and south in Ireland in the 60s, I guess, 60s and 70s. And that's mostly written in, well, it's going to be mostly written in sonnets and free verse. And then there's a part that's my section, which is all free verse, and then there's a legal part where I'm kind of doing stuff with parts of the Irish Constitution and other legislation. So I'm just going to read a few of these in sequence. Some of them don't have titles or anything, but I think you'll get the switches. So this one doesn't have a title, but it's from my Nana's part. Windows stalk an open field, a house of perfect angles, dropped in the middle of nowhere. Claire Morris, May O. Dank grey walls in a heart of grass, swallowing their path to the door. How did we end up here? Staring out those windows at her little girl, their first girl, herself like a tiny creature of the field, at home with the voles, birds, the field mice. A garden gate so far away, it may as well be the other side of Ireland. The racecourse road, Ashling, Ballymac, Auch. The little girl mutters, chatting to herself in the big gap of Claire Morris. A brick pen where inside Fra sews and bakes, sings and prays. She watches her wee one have conversations with the breeze, listen to the high sky, the clouds. They had to make space in their lives for all that space. At night they storm heaven, calling on St. Anthony for the home they had lost, for Mammy and Daddy and the Cooley Mountains. Sure hadn't the Virgin Mother herself appeared down the road at Knock only 80 years before. Fra gave them odd names. Charles. Nobody understood the Englishness of it. Hardly anything to do with the prince, but still. Ursula, a name virtually unknown in modern times, except for kids of my generation who adored the Little Mermaid and feared the Sea Witch. It's one of those names you can't imagine a six-year-old having. I still remember the one girl in my class, Orla Breslin, whose mother, too, was named Ursula, our pair of sea witches. Colette is unexplained, sophisticated, difficult to shorten, and Deirdre almost seems standard, a good name for the red-haired baby, the truly Irish-looking child. Even Fra changed that, contrary as she was, to Durdry, the English way of saying it. Clipped to a simple D when we were kids, and Deirdre when she introduces herself. But Fra had other ideas, and in her old age, the sound she called her children rang out over their homes. Fra's shrill voice clapped up the stairs, well practiced from the door to the gate. From my part. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. I would be lying if I didn't say it. I do miss pumpkin spice lattes from Starbucks, or the slightly more forgivable second cup. Not for the taste, it's just sugar and whipped cream, but because it meant something there. Marked the winter pre-season, the final chance for joy. One last opportunity to carry a cup down the street in your hands, because in 2 months you won't be carrying anything, not with those ski gloves. I do miss freezing my fucking nuts off at the streetcar stop. I do miss the sweat under the 4 layers of clothes. I do miss the excruciating debate with myself about whether the 4-minute walk to the liquor store would be worth it, but I did not. Okay, this is messages. Nodes climb in shapes of berries, fruit, and bolts. She'll be coming round Montreal when she comes, when she comes. World of supermarkets wander through, nourish myself, hunter-gatherer, dipping into cigars, into the grime and dust, bins of food, one false move and back to all the hobo taught me. Retur de retur de retur. Tight, echoing, not another peanut butter sandwich. emerge inside me from grocery stores, triumphant, proud, excited to make broth. Provigo has the deals, Old Europe has the discount cheese, Dominion is always next door, Loblaws has the liquor store, Rainbow is on the bus route to St. Paul, Cap Frère ou Ranquette. Barley's has the good fruit, Whole Foods has the good everything. We gave her a coffee machine for Christmas, very upmarket. She exchanged it for its value in tea bags. No hoarding inclination, genetic, no supplies for disparate times. If I can't make it to Cap Frère in the snow, I'll be licking salt from my roommate's leather couch. Cap Frère, come easily, like the shells in the larder, knees and elbows hard against the self. If you hoard, does that mean you believe in permanence or impermanence? If you hoard, does that mean you believe? If you believe, does that mean you hoard? Nous avons lui donné une machine à café, très haut de gamme, elle est changée pour son valeur du thé. Do three more. This one's called Queens. I was on that bus, in Punta Arenas, Puerto Varas, Puerto Montt. I wore a peach-colored cagoule in Pucón on Bicentennial. Ate pig from carved-out barbecue in the wall. Chi chi chi, lay lay lay. I was in that town alone. Mendoza, Buenos Aires, Valdivia. With an iPod on my knee, I was driven through the Andes on a bus, on that bus, Viva Chile. I was in the Andes between the mountains, alone and happy, playing mini golf in volcano towns, dunking fondue in ski villages. I don't and think and all and far, how those places still exist, how the water still pours, the buses still tour, and New York still exists. Right now. It's 10 a.m. on Fifth Avenue on a Monday, and that is happening while I sit at my desk, while the dog's breath squeezes out, while the strawberry patterned tablecloth lies still on the patio where we never sit. No one bears witness for the witness. Last night, I drank a little too much, Nero d'Avola, on Valentine's Day. Remembered the three previous Valentine's days. The one when he was sick and DJing. The one when I wore the long black dress. The ones when my mom used to put little chocolate hearts in my lunchbox. Now she tells me to visit the Chelsea Market when I'm in New York. And not to miss the little gay bar on East 55th Street that exists right now. Might not be open, might be too early, but tonight it will exist again. On streets and taxis, benches, subway tokens, on maps and languages, monuments and museums, locals and visitors and flags. Okay, so this is one of the legal ones. Regulation of Information, Services Outside the State for Termination of Pregnancies Act 1995. Conditions governing the giving of certain information, advice, and counseling to certain individual women. Certain individual women, certain individual women, certain individual women, and this goes on. Where a person to whom Section 5 applies is requested by or on behalf of an individual woman who indicates on or whose behalf it is indicated that she is or may be pregnant, to give information, advice, or counseling in relation to her particular circumstances, having regard to the fact that it is indicated by her or on her behalf that she is or may be pregnant. It shall not be lawful for the person or the employer or the principal of the person to advocate or promote the termination of pregnancy to the woman or to any person on her behalf. It shall not be lawful for the person or the employer or the principal of the person to give act information to the woman or to any person on her behalf, unless the information and the method and the manner of its publication are in compliance with subparagraphs 1 and 2 of section 3(1)(a), and the information is given in a form and manner which do not advocate or promote the termination of pregnancy. At the same time, information other than act information, counseling and advice are given directly to the woman in relation to all the courses of action that are open to her in relation to her particular circumstances aforesaid. And the information, counseling and advice referred to in subparagraph 2 are truthful and objective, fully inform the woman of all the courses of action that are open to her in relation to her particular circumstances aforesaid, and do not advocate or promote, and are not accompanied by any advocacy or promotion of the termination of pregnancy. Who has regard for women's actions? Who advocates for women's actions? Who objects to women's actions? Who directs women's actions? Who accompanies women? Who promotes women? Who counsels women? Who refers women? Who informs women? Who opens courses of action? Who forms principles? Who acts on behalf of women? Who is a particular woman? It shall not be lawful to be an individual woman. It shall not be lawful to be an individual woman. It shall not be lawful to be an individual woman. This is really it. This is called COIL. Thank you so much for listening. It's not. It is not. The night coils tight, tight, enclosed in picture houses, coiling around the wheels of my bicycle as they spin through a one-off balmy night in Dublin. Spinning out towards the sea, towards those little cottages, whitewashed in a neat row, the bad part of town, but not as bad as I had imagined. The night coils and thickens and tells me to keep pedaling these ideas that have spun and been spinning for hours, months, for years. The night coils here the same way as it did in San Francisco on the shiny blue tourist explorer back down to Visadero to the bottom of Burnham. It coils like it did when the train passed my window on Admiral Road, like it did in winter, in this bed and that bed, in any bed. It coils like the night in Los Angeles with that guy named whatever, Brad or something. Coils like the absence of a condom on a dull, busy night. He had a motorcycle, wanted to take me to dinner, as if I cared. It coils like that dark blue night on the patio of a club. Coils like the ecstasy he took, like whatever he was feeling in that moment. It coils like a tongue stuck, clicking. Thank you.